Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskite, and coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana, and it's good to be back and standing on the wall praying for the Office of the President. So let's remind ourselves, and this is more so for me than anybody, to check our emotions at the door so that souls can be saved and we can honor and respect the Office of the President as we look through and dive through scripture as our basis, and then also the news of seeing what's going on in the world. And today I want to continue our study of the midnight watch and what to do if we are awakened during this hour. As I know for myself and most people, we tend to be asleep from this watch. And I want to look at scripture in Acts 16 and focus on a few key points, but there's a passage that I think we're all very well aware of, but I think it highlights something very specific that I think is very, very interesting and key as we look at these, how scripture breaks out into the different time watches that we see throughout the Bible. So in verse 22, it starts with the story of Paul and Silas, how they've been in prison, how a crowd rose up against them, and they had struck them with many blows, and then they'd been put in prison in shackles with their feet fastened in stocks. And then in verse 25, it goes on to say, but at midnight, again, highlighting, we're just looking here at this midnight here, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And then it goes on to talk about how they ended up not leaving and really saving the lives of the guards, and then ultimately the jailer is converted into accepting Christ. And so I think this is a great example for us in this watch of awakened, just to praise the Lord. And Chuck, through this in his book, Reordering Your Day, talks about how if we awaken in this watch to listen to, he says, a piece of advice is just listen to praise and worship music if you're awakened during this watch. Watch the prison doors open that you're in for whatever reason, and then thank God for the angels that surround you, at just like Paul and Silas. So when it seems like a time of, and we can let our anxieties get the best of us, is to just release it to the Lord, praise Him, and watch the Lord's mighty hand at work in our lives. And what better way to do that than the situation where you're in America and around the world. And so with that, just a few key stories we want to pay attention to. There's a lot going on with Title 42, the primaries and stuff, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But I think with where the president's at right now and his travels to the East, some things are really starting to pop off that are potential warning signs for us about our relationship with China and the in that region over there. But first, in what's been reported over this weekend, you may have saw this or not, the White House is and armed forces are developing a plan to Pentagon to send troops to protect the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. Because last week, President Biden opened up the embassy in Kiev and sent diplomats back to Ukraine. Now, knowing who is involved in this administration and what happened in Benghazi, it's a clear point of concern for any American to send troops back into a active war zone. And there's a debate about, well, is it really a war zone? Do politicians go to war zones? Have they ever happened? That's a very honest and clear point. But I think if we're sending troops back there, and even the White House, in some comments by some administration officials, are concerned about, well, how do we protect our diplomats who are there, but then also not escalate things with Russia? And look, Daniel Pierce's dream, I think, is still kind of playing out here. It's a tussle. It's a back and forth. Let's not misfire in this situation. So we want to pray for the administration on this issue. And then also on the China issue, because what's coming out now, or what is about to come out, is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is scheduled for the second time to make a long-awaited speech on the strategy of China. Now, he will not release the text of the speech beforehand or afterhand, which is kind of normal, which is very interesting. And what's being reported now to Politico is that they're not going to go into great detail about the mechanics, they're calling it, of the strategy on China. They're just going to basically outline a basic overview, which is kind of normal, but with the position of China, is you kind of want to come out and be very poignant and direct, because that's how China's being. And they're saying, President Biden has said this, is that, you know, they're going to defend Taiwan if something were to happen. Supposedly, they no longer want to have this policy of strategic ambiguity regarding the U.S.'s stance and willingness to defend Taiwan, which is kind of interesting, because at the same time, rumors that Blinken is going to come out and do this, you have the president kind of going behind his back, or more so being more frontful, and it's showing a disagreement here between Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and President Biden, that there's this new Indo-Pacific trade agreement with a host of nations, and Taiwan is being left out of this. And the question is, why is that? If you're willing to defend Taiwan, why wouldn't you include them and help build up their economy during this trade pact in order? And there's some seem like good things involved in this, of trying to help prevent supply chain shortages and deal with semiconductors and technology and a host of other things. But the real question is does it really deal with the issue? Because number one, you're not including Taiwan. But number two is you're not including India too. Because what happens is the first place they're going to, because it's cheaper, is China. Then they go to India because it's just as cheap. Can they produce just as well? And they go to other nations around there as well. But the reason these manufacturers and American companies are going to China and other countries is because it's cheaper. The cost of labor is cheaper when it's forced labor, unfortunately. And that's a sad thing. But back to my point, and why it's important for us to pray, is with the administration's stance and really showing that they're not in unity and in unison together, and we have prophetic to watch what Anthony Blinken is saying, because he has some understanding of what this administration needs to do, and unfortunately been warned that the administration might not listen to him. So we want to pray that they do listen to him, to his wisdom on a host of, and so we want to continue to pray for this administration to have the fear of the Lord in this hour, listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with the war in Russia and between Russia and Ukraine and with China, because China right now is Rand Paul pointed out, is our very strategic partner that we kind of can't upset, because we're buying their bonds to be able to fund what's happening around the world and for our government, because we can't afford the things that we're doing, unfortunately. It seems nice to, oh yes, we want to help out, give, but when you have no money to be able to give, spending a credit card is not always the wisest thing to do. And when you're $30 trillion in debt, it's not the wisest thing to do. So I want to pray for wisdom there for this administration. And then I want to bring up this next story, because I think it's very key of, if you remember back, we played it, Chris Reed's prophetic about, what was this, December, January, where he said, where he felt like the Lord showed him that COVID was going to die out and it would basically be non-existent. And that's kind of where we're at. But then something else would arise. And then you're seeing this whole monkeypox thing come up. And no matter where it came from, how it started to spread, it's starting to spread. And it is a potential situation where come fall, if it cases start to rise, obviously side effects, ill-considered and not considered, there's a potential. I'm not saying this is the thing. I'm saying this is a potential. But I want to mark this because we want to keep this as a reminder, because President Biden himself has come out and publicly said, while he is overseas in Japan, that monkeypox threat does not rise to the level of COVID-19. Let's remember that. Today is May 24th, 2022. President Biden, or 23, because they're ahead of us, or this is yesterday, when he said this in Tokyo, that he wanted to calm the concerns of the recent cases that have spread in Europe and the United States. And he says, I just don't think it rises to the level and kind of concern that exists with COVID-19. So there we have it, folks. President Biden himself has come out and said it does. We don't need to be quarantining. We don't need to be doing the measures that we did during COVID. So we have it at face value. Now, will he potentially backfire and walk it back and change things? Who knows? Let's pray he doesn't. but you just, with this administration, you never know, unfortunately. And that's a sad thing. And then the last thing is, we're coming up on the deadlines that Chuck Schumer and Democrats and the Biden administration want to have something on the books as the end of this fiscal year starts to get closer towards October, September, October. And what we're seeing, and this is a good thing to a degree, is that because of Joe Manchin, they're blowing, and this is the great headline from The Hill. It says, Democrats set to blow through key dates for moving Biden's agenda, Build Back Better, stuff like that. This is why we don't pick a side. We don't pick politics. We pray for issues and we pray for leaders that are going to stand up for freedom and be wise and have the fear of the Holy Spirit on these issues. And look, Joe Manchin, he unfortunately sides with abortion, for abortion, not pro-life, but, and there are other issues that are very concerning that he stands with, but on this economic issue, he's standing very strong. He's being very wise because he wants both sides to have a bipartisan effort to pass these bills. And where the House is at right now, he's basically saying, I'm going to let the clock run out. And that's very, in this season, very fine because, again, we're not having both sides come through. So this is a key victory, something to not necessarily cheer about, but just say, okay, Lord, thank you for Joe Manchin. Thank you for his wisdom in this season and something to pay attention to. As we get closer, what is Chuck Schumer going to try to do? What is Bernie Sanders going to try to force in the season ahead before the midterms? And speaking of midterms, today we have Georgia and Alabama. And so today we want to pray for those voters who are going this last weekend because of the laws in Georgia. There has been a massive surge in early voting because now more people have the opportunity to vote when they're not working ahead of time to make sure they can get their vote cast and not have to deal with this whole mail-in and all this stuff, et cetera. The complete opposite of what the mainstream media has been saying towards these election integrity laws. So today we want to, in those states, pray for those voters to vote based upon biblical moral values. And it's very, especially in the primaries, it can be very difficult with all the candidates, the vast number of candidates. And tomorrow we'll look at the results of these elections that are hopefully going to finish tonight, unlike Pennsylvania. And something to be continue praying for is as these leaders get confirmed to be the candidates for either party, let's continue to pray for future, current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understand the times and seasons we are in, and use the wisdom from the Lord and revelation to clearly define these policies and honestly stand by the policies that they're running on and putting forward to help us get us out of this mess that we're in. And again, as we're seeing with Joe Manchin, it doesn't have to be a Republican. And God can use them however he needs to use them. So we can take that as is. And some things to watch out for as we look towards the results is, look, we're quote unquote seeing this red wave, massive Republican voters voting in the primaries. I mean, if it's really going to pay off this red wave, they're going to need to vote in the midterms. And they're going to have to sin based upon biblical moral values. That should clearly define how to vote for, but also is in these states, in Georgia, in Alabama, are Democrats going to come out in the primaries, or are they going to only wait until the midterms? That's yet to be seen in any state. But also is, I talked about it last week, this is kind of being ignored, is the progressives side of the Democratic Party are starting to win a lot of these, especially in these high contentious areas. Of the races that usually have been moderate to a degree, but it's these extreme progressives who I just anti-God, outright anti-freedom, high totalitarian. And so we really want to pray for these votes. That's why we want to pray for these voters to have wisdom when they go vote, because going down that road, look at China, look at Russia, look at Venezuela. Currently today, these leaders that are living off of these policies that are trying to be advocated for. And again, we have a warning on the Bernie Sanders agenda could cripple us for the next 3 to 4 generations. And think about if more of those type of people got into power and were able to affect our daily lives. And you may say, well that's never going to happen. Never say never. Ronald Reagan talked about it. He said, you're only one generation away from losing your freedoms. And we're seeing it decay right before our very eyes, potentially. But that's why we're here, to pray, to stand, so that the fear and wisdom of the Lord can come on not only this administration, but those within America, and continue to stand with all the other prayer movements around the world and this nation and the world that are praying for this nation, with Dutch, and Clay, and Gloria Zion, and all the host of others. A lot of them you guys are on. It's great. We want to continue to stand together, continue to be the body of Christ around this nation and around the world, so that the gospel of the kingdom can be spread not only from this nation, but in the nations as well. So blessings. I'm going to end it today. Kind of go short. I really wanted to highlight those key points, especially with what's going on in China and Russia, is with Ukraine. What's going on there? Why are we making these decisions? Let's pray for clarity for our administration officials, and then especially with China and Taiwan. What do these decisions mean? Where does Blinken stand? Does he have a voice? Is he being kind of held back by this administration? So we want to pray for the fear of the Lord to come through in this season. And today we'll have our noon prayer at Christian Center Shreveport. We'll be back on a regular schedule. And I'll be back with you guys tomorrow as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.